السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. We have been discussing a very, very important subject, although it may seem to be very dry. Because these days we want something that must have a lot of ghee and oil in it. A lot of masala, spices. Something that hurts our nafs, we don't want to listen to. That we want to run far away from. Whereas that is what we should be listening to. We will never be able to change the whole world. I have mentioned this many, many times. The shaitan is a very shrewd teacher. He takes our attention away from ourselves and focuses it on something distant away, or some person or some community that is far away, where it is not in our capability or power, or those whom we cannot reach. Or even if we reach, we cannot change. So it does not mean that you don't show concern for the person that is thousands of miles away. Indeed, as the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to show concern for each and every ummati, irrespective of wherever he may be in the world. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not question us on the day of Qiyamah about each and every individual in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who was living in our time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ummatis are of two kinds: ummah of ijabat and ummah of dawat. In other words, those who have accepted Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen, who have accepted the Sharia, who have accepted the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whom we call Muslims, or the Quran Sharif calls Muslim, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called Muslim. So one is the ummah of ijabat and one is the ummah of dawat. The other one is the ummah that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave dawat to. He called towards Deen, Sharia, Quran, Sunnah, but they didn't accept in his time too, and up till the day of Qiyamah they will not accept, or there is a possibility of some of them accepting if you give them the proper dawah. But Allah Ta'ala will not question us of each and every one of the millions or billions that are living in the world. But each and every individual will be questioned about his own actions and deeds. That we will be questioned about. So some people will have the strength, the courage, the himmat, the potential to reach distant places and call people towards Islam and Deen. And some people will not have that kind of ability. But each and every one has the ability to change himself. That nobody can say that I can't do that. Individual change every person can bring about. So we are discussing this issue of akhlaq over a number of weeks now. In fact, right from the month of Ramadan, so many bayans have taken place on this very important subject, akhlaq. Because I am replying to letters every day, number of emails coming from different parts of the world. And believe me, the other day I was reading out, because nobody knows who the writer is. Most of them are anonymous, or they've got some other pseudonym or some other email addresses. And in any case, if they have some name too, they're from different parts of the world. Australia, America, Canada, and so many countries where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazl, people are writing. 7 out of the 8 that I read out to them, so many are coming every. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows how many people Allah is giving hidayat. But the thing is that 7 out of 8, I think, which I read out to them that particular day, every one of them was anger, anger, anger. And due to anger, what they did, somebody blasted his wife, and somebody blasted his children, and somebody blasted somebody else, either physically or the person with his tongue. He swore for no more, no akhlaq. And then not one person after that expressed any kind of satisfaction. After having given vent to anger, not one person expressed any kind of satisfaction. Everyone writes that the end result was very negative, or it was something that created a lot of problem, and now they want to rectify. That means first you have made the person extremely angry. The person has made his wife extremely angry, made his children extremely angry, or the children have made the parents extremely angry, or the wives have made the husband extremely angry by exercising no control over the tongue. And now they regret. When they regret, they want to make a change. They want to bring about some kind of reconciliation. But many a times it becomes too difficult to bring about a reconciliation. So that is the reason for discussing this subject in such detail. That until and unless we don't put our akhlaq right, whether we go to khanqas, whether we go to madrasas, darul ulooms, masajid, majalis, or we go in dawat and tabligh, or we go to any other institution of deen, but if we don't put our akhlaq right, we will not be able to impress anybody. We will be able to fool a few people outside our homes, but in reality, no real change will take place in our own lives and in anybody else's life. Because our dealings are with people. All the time we are dealing with people. The moment the child is born, there's already so many different relationships. Someone has become the father, someone has become the mother, somebody has become the sister, somebody is a brother, someone an uncle, someone a grandfather. So many people have become relatives just by birth. Still the child hasn't even grown up and hasn't even recognized their faces. That who is this person? But the person is already related to so many people, and as the child grows and comes of age, then all the responsibilities and obligations of maintaining family ties and everything else will have to be effected and implemented. So that is just by birth. Child is just born and already there's so many different relationships. And each one has got a certain right. Sometimes we try to treat everyone equally. And that is another big mistake that we make. Everybody cannot be treated equally. There are differences. The treatment that a person is obliged to give to his mother is not the same as that to his daughter or to his sister. There are different kinds of relationships, and each person enjoys a different kind of right. Yes, we must be very fair in our judgment, we must be very fair, we must not be biased, we must not be prejudiced, we must not be unjust and unfair. That is a different issue. But certain places we have to give extra consideration. A person must not just paint everybody with the same brush. There are so many examples that are coming into my mind, but I'm not going into that at present. So akhlaq is a very, very important issue. And until we don't put that right, we won't get anywhere. We will be all the time at loggerheads with everybody. Sometimes we will think that people are considering me as a very pious person and a very righteous person, and see how much of namaz I make and tahajjud I make, and what a nice black spot I have on my forehead, and how much of tasbihs and wazifas I read. So that's why everybody must be looking up at me as being a very pious and righteous person. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given man insight. Many people can make out our pretense, especially when they come into contact with us in our dealings. When they come into contact with us in our dealings, that's the time they recognize and realize that what this person is. All that very pious talk of muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana, I've got no love for dunya in my heart. And then see how they fight over those miserable coins. The person will not even consider that it was his father, it was his brother, it was his mother. We deal with cases all the time. So at that time the person will show his true colors, whether there is love of dunya in that heart or not. And once again, don't misunderstand me, I've said this repeatedly, that dunya is not the name of gold, silver. It is not the name of good home, good car. That's not dunya. Dunya is not a good business. Dunya is when it diverts us from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we think that remembrance of Allah ta'ala is just namaz. That if our business is not diverting us from namaz, so then we say, well, our dunya hasn't diverted us, so therefore it's not dunya. But that is not the only thing. There are so many different kinds of relationships that we have to maintain. We have to forego sometimes that which is rightfully belonging to us, just to maintain a certain kind of family tie for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Technically the person can demand it, that it's my right. Technically he can demand it. But in everything you don't have to be technical. Then where is that large heartedness? Where is that accommodation of the concerns of the others? Are we going to go by the book in everything? If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala goes by the book, in everything he says, that I want to go by the book, what's going to happen to us? We must learn to develop in ourselves the sifat of ihsan. The wives must learn to develop the sifat of ihsan. Go the extra mile. Serve their husbands. Take care of their needs. Make them happy and comfortable when they come into the homes. Put a cheer and a smile on the face when the husband is walking into the house. Because our sisters are also listening over the receivers, I'm mentioning this. And many a times it is the fault of the wives that they are not presenting that akhlaq of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wives of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. So they have to go that extra mile. Develop the sifat of ihsan. Don't just say, my right, my right, my right. And then corresponding, the husbands also must go the extra mile. Don't open the book on the first night and say, my right, my right, my right. Show favor, show kindness, show generosity, show cheer and smile. Develop a good relationship. How else are we going to become compatible? So this is what Islam teaches us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's whole life, we can see there that there was nothing in it except forgiveness, large-heartedness, generosity, kindness. It was an ocean of forgiveness. And here for every little thing we say, my right has been violated. My right has been trampled upon. Therefore I demand my right. Shariat even allows you to go to the qazi, to go to the judge, and in other words to go to the court and demand your right. Shariat doesn't stop. If a person has been deprived of his right and he has tried to get that which is due to him in the proper manner, but he is not getting it, then it is permissible, it is allowed to even go further. Because Shariat is balanced. Doesn't suppress that natural inclination in man. That is the beauty of Shariat. That there is a natural desire, the person wants what is due to him. So Sharia doesn't say that no, everybody must forgive. If that is what Sharia had said, then we would have said that we cannot follow Sharia. We cannot follow the Quran and Sunnah. Sharia doesn't say that, but encourages us, gives us all the rewards of forgiveness, of generosity, of kindness, of large-heartedness. Before us is the history of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the Sahaba Ikram. So that from there we can learn that what kind of forgiveness they had for people. They were so concerned about everybody. Even the rights of animals, rights of creatures. It used to hurt them if the right of the animal also has been violated. Allah Ta'ala has given us such a beautiful religion and deen. Look at the amount of fight that is going on between the city council and people who are demanding the right to light up the fireworks or the big bangs. They want the right. Now look at the amount of disputes that are taking place and the amount of hassles. Now what kind of a right the person is asking for? Allah Ta'ala gave us Islam, so we say must give due consideration to even the animals and the creatures. Unnecessarily don't harm them. Even when we are told to slaughter, then look at all the regulations. How should we slaughter an animal? Don't make the animal suffer. Have a sharp knife and all the other details. Now here everybody knows that when those big bangs are going to take off, how many animals get traumatized? How many animals get traumatized? They read in the newspapers, they listen in the news, how many animals were run over, how many dogs died and cats died and other animals were traumatized. But they say it is our right. So this is what we have to understand, that Sharia gives rights. So we must fulfill the rights of others. And when it comes to our rights, then although technically, as I said, we have the right to demand our right. Technically we have the right to demand our right. But the teaching of Sharia is that the person must have a large heart and forgive, overlook. Create an atmosphere of happiness within the home and within the family and within the society. Otherwise, the moment we walk in, if the wife is terrorized, if the children are terrorized, they're not looking forward to our coming into the home, then what kind of a home is that? Then the person rather stay in some hotel then all his life. Why get married? So akhlaq, once again, boils down to akhlaq. That is why we are discussing this subject since the month of Ramadan. فرماتے تھے کہ کسی شیخ کا اصل تبرک اس کی تعلیمات ہیں ان کو مضبوطی سے پکڑو اور ان پر عمل کرو بس یہی کارآمد چیز ہے بغیر ارادہ اصلاح کے محض جسمانی قرب کچھ بھی مفید نہیں ہے These days we just want to be close to a person that we consider to be pious and righteous and that to those people who have some kind of deen in them. Otherwise people run far away from those that they consider pious and righteous. That the shadow of the pious must not fall over us because we will have to give up sins too. Some people run very far from the pious and righteous. They say the shadow also mustn't fall over us because if it falls over us then we'll have to give up our sins. And giving up sins is like giving up something that is very beloved. So how are we going to do it? Whereas they don't know that if the shadow falls and if the person has to give up his sins, then when he is going to get the enjoyment of the qurb of Allah Ta'ala and the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, and when Allah Ta'ala will bless him with sukoon in his life and with happiness and contentment and satisfaction, and when that love of dunya will leave the heart, the usage of dunya will remain, but that attachment to the dunya will leave the heart, Then this person will say that, why the hell did I waste my time? Why did I waste my life? I should have changed long ago. What did I get in the rave clubs and the discos and cinemas and theatres? What did I get in those drugs? Have I got anything to really show as a kind of an achievement after having taken drugs 20 years of my life, 30 years of my life? Or after having visited those rave clubs? Or after having associated with those prostitutes? What is it that now I have as an achievement? Something to my credit. I can be proud and brag about it and advertise in the newspapers that 30 years of my life I took drugs, and see what an achievement. Does he get anything? The person wishes that there was no such chapter in his history. The person wishes that there was no such chapter in his history. If the person's autobiography is written or biography is written, then if there are two stages in his life, then he wishes that there wasn't that kind of a chapter where he was involved in all these type of wheelings and dealings. So he says the asal tabarruk of the mashayikh is their teachings, not just being close to them or drive the shaykh around so the person is proud, I'm doing a great deed. Indeed, the person will be rewarded for some khidmat. But if he doesn't accept the teaching of the shaykh in his life, then he hasn't achieved anything. Even if he stays 100 years close to the shaykh. Or those who are attending the majalis, the majlis, the waaz, the nasihat and the programs, it's the same thing. That it's a great effort that the person has to make in these days to attend this type of program, so you get rewarded, some kind of sawab the person gets. But no real effect of that is felt in the person's life if he doesn't implement the teachings. Whatever he listens to, if it is not with the intention of making amal on, so then it is entertainment. If we don't listen with the niyat of amal, then it is an entertainment. Some people like to be entertained with some music, some disco, some theatre, some cinema, some dancing and other kind of things. So although permissible and jais, we are not saying that it is najais, but it just becomes another form of entertainment. It's a different issue that listening with the intention of amal, but the person got some weakness, he's trying, he's making an effort, and when he's sitting and listening also, he says, I want to give up this sins of mine. How long am I going to go and visit the prostitutes? How long am I going to stay in adultery and fornication? How long am I going to watch the TV in my home and pretend outside that I'm a very pious and righteous person and be in the first saf and make istighfar and tawbah, and the person is reading Quran Sharif and everything. But if you go into the home, the whole stack of videos and Hollywood, Bollywood movies, tapes there. So who are we fooling then? It means that the person hasn't been listening with the intention of making amal. It is just a come and go kind of thing. Although that too is rewarded. We must not give it up, because shaitan will say, well, you're not making amal, so give it up. That's another very big ploy of shaitan. The 10 times you went, 100 times you went, give it up, because you're not making amal. Whereas what we should be saying, that if you are not making amal, then why give up the majlis? Why give up the tawbah? Why give up the istighfar? We are not giving up one sin. So because of that, why give up the good deed? But what we are saying is that don't be satisfied, don't be complacent, and don't think that we have done justice unless we listen with the intention of amal. I mentioned earlier too that now we are coming to some hard-hitting facts. All these years we are slowly bringing you to that level where you can start digesting something that is hard and harsh. We will not adopt this attitude for a person who is coming for the first time, or is meeting us individually or privately. Then they will give the person a lot of encouragement. Take your time, don't worry, it's all gradual process, don't lose hope. It is just like that well that you are digging. In the early stages of the digging, as you have heard 120 times that example, that first there is nothing but sand and stone and dust that will come out if you want to dig for a well. borehole, early digging, what comes out? Sand and dust and stone. But don't give it up. Carry on. Keep on digging. Then the time will come when there will be dust and sand, or sand and water mixed. Still you cannot drink that. It will destroy you. Still don't give it up. Go on, go further. Another few more meters down and then you will strike water. And then see how many millions of people sometime will benefit from that water. Millions. Same in the spiritual world. That in the early days, because of our hearts have become hard like rocks, with the effect of the environment that we are living in, and with the effect of the sins that we have been committing all our lives, and with the effect of our negligence and our indifference and our ghaflat, our hearts have become polluted and hard like rocks. So now one tasbih is not going to reach the depths and dig up a well inside. Or a few salats or a few attendances of some majlis of tawbah and istighfar and zikr is not sufficient. The person will have to continue, keep making istighfar, keep making tawbah. Make a list out of all those evils that have crept into our lives. How we always take stock in businesses. I say, this item here now is dead stock, it must be removed. Under cost also, give it away. Or get rid of it altogether. Why keep it in the warehouse when 10 years it is lying here and it has become dead stock? Nobody is interested in buying it and purchasing it or looking at it. So we say, get rid of it. So if we have dead stocks in our shops, so like that we've got a lot of dead stocks in our hearts. Get rid of it. Our hearts were supposed to be for the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Murshid gives a beautiful example. And that is the truth and that's the reality. That if a person has to invite a respected and an honored and a dignified guest to his house, and when that respected, dignified, honored guest arrives, then we put him up in a room with dead dogs and dead cats and corpses lying in that room. Even if there's just one dead rat and one dead cat there, that guest will hold his nose and run from there and say, I'm not coming anymore. Is this the respect that you show to me? How do you expect me to come into this room and into this home and sleep in this bed when next to me on my right is a dead cat and on the left is a dead rat and there's a dead donkey there and there's a human corpse there also? So when a human being is not prepared to stay in such a kind of room with such kind of things around him, such kind of filth and dirt and dead bodies, so this heart which was supposed to be for the muhabbat of Allah and the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how can Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tajalli come into a heart in which there is all this type of dead bodies lying there? The love of dunya, the love of some illicit beloved, the love of wealth, the wealth which is taking him to the cinemas, the discos, the theatres, and the gambling dens. I'm not talking about good wealth. Good wealth earned in a good way in the hands of a good person is an excellent thing. We need wealth for masjid, for madrasas, for poor, for destitute, for needy, for hajj, for umrahs, and for ourselves and for our families. Therefore Allah Ta'ala made tijarat halal. And for livelihood also Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made so many different kinds of earnings halal. I'm talking about that wealth which is taking the person to all these haram places. But the main thing is this, that what we are seeing with our eyes, listening with our ears, and speaking with our tongues, or tasting with our tongues and putting into our bodies, now those are the things that have affected our hearts. And those are those dead bodies that I'm talking about in our hearts, those corpses that are lying there. The person sees a filthy picture on the television screen. It is recorded in his heart. He sees it in the newspaper, it is recorded in his heart. He sees it in a magazine, it's recorded in his heart. It's filmed there already. Now we've got such large reels in our hearts of all these type of things which we have seen. And then we say, Ya Allah, come into our hearts. Will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala stajalli come into those hearts? So first we have to get rid of that from our hearts. That's what I mean when you are going to start digging. In the early days, the person will find it a little difficult because he's now striking rock. But if he gives it up, he'll get no water at all. 3 days, 10 days, 20 days, the person gives it up. He says, I've been trying, but nothing is happening. So you will see something is happening, but you mustn't stop. Once again, that example, if a child is born, and you measure the baby with a tape, and after 1 hour you measure again, and after 2 hours you measure again, and after 3 hours you measure again, will you find any difference? But every sensible person will tell us that major changes have already taken place inside the body. Wait for a little while, take a few days and then see. If nothing was happening, then how did the child start crawling now? If nothing was happening, how did the child start running? And if nothing was happening, how did the child grow up and become 15 and 16? And how did the person then reach old age if nothing was happening? So something was happening, but we cannot see it from the outside immediately. But continue and inshallah we will get somewhere. And then when we will get that well dug up inside our hearts, when that well will dig up, we will dig inside our hearts. When we will strike the water of tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that ocean of noor will start flowing in the heart, then that person will realize that I wasted my life in sins, in evil, in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Remember our wilayat today. Our wilayat today is in the giving up of sins, not reading too much of wazifas. Everybody wants wazifas. But the real wazifa of our time is the giving up of sins, because we are being lashed by storms of fitnas from all sides. We look right, left, in front of us, behind us, above us, whichever direction we look, it's nothing but fitnas. At such a time, there's great pressure on the heart of a person to restrain himself from such fitnas. But if this person takes that pain, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove all other pains from him, of the akhirat, of the hereafter. Then even if his body is sick, he is a sick person, he's got pain and he's got weakness and he's got suffering, but because he will believe that it is from my Allah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him sukoon even in that condition. Then it will be a test for him. And when it is a test, then the person does not lose that tranquility in his heart. When it is an azab, then the person loses that tranquility. Then he starts complaining of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then he starts saying a lot of things which can even take him away from Islam and Iman. And then you will notice that that person, in spite of his pain and suffering and sickness, but he increases in sins. His namaz now is completely neglected. A little bit of pain, and the person now forgets about salat also. When he'll get better, he'll start making salat. So what I am saying is that don't lose hope also. There must be a balance. After listening to some bayan, then we say, now I don't think I can do all these things. I can't give up sins, so therefore forget about it. So then how are we going to ever give it up? We must address our nafs and say that if you are not going to give it up, you are going to suffer in this world and in the akhirat. Don't you want sukoon in your life? Don't you want peace in your life? Don't you want tranquility and serenity and joy and happiness and contentment and satisfaction? Which nafs will say it doesn't want it? Say, if you want it, because the nafs is part of the body. So if you want it, then how else are you going to get it without pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What are you going to get in watching all the haram all your life? So make some himmat. Allah ta'ala has given us the himmat. We don't want to make use of it. Allah ta'ala has given us the himmat. The person who can raise his hand up so he can drop it down too. He's got the himmat to raise it up, so he can drop it down also. But if the person's hand is raised and it's stuck there, khuda na khasta, Allah forbid, then we will say he is sick, he must treat himself. So just as we have the strength to raise our gaze and watch haram, we have the strength to lower it from haram. Just as we have the strength to pick up that morsel and put it into our mouth of that which is haram, we have the strength to also give up that morsel of haram. Just as we have the strength to earn that livelihood or get that livelihood which is haram, go to the casinos and earn it, or go to other gambling dens and earn it, or take interest and earn it. So just as we have the strength to do that and the understanding and the intelligence to do that, in the same way we have the intelligence and the understanding and the ability to do without it too. So it's not a question of we don't have the strength. It's just that we don't want to make use of the strength. So our life is running out. And that beautiful couplet of Hazrat, Shahon ke saro par taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shahon ke saro par taj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke sino mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. The kings, their crowns give them a lot of pain and headache. Always fearing coup d'etat, overthrow, murder, killing, hanging. And those who are the Ahle Wafa, people who are faithful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they have dedicated their lives for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to gain Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's muhabbat and love. They will still be very, very normal people. This is one thing we have to get out of our heads and hearts. That the person that will be aspiring to become a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he'll become some kind of an abnormal person. It's a sad thing and a sad state of affairs that unfortunately the person who is normal, we consider him to be abnormal. And the person who is abnormal because of the society that we live in is considered to be normal. But in reality, those are the truly normal people who are Ahle Wafa. Given their hearts to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They will eat, they will drink, they will marry, they will run their businesses, they can be the kings of the time, they can be rulers over countries, they can be MPs, they can be cabinet ministers, they can be big business people. But their hearts will be with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے. They can be amongst millions of people but they are still with Allah تبارک و تعالی. So there is something in what I am saying. It's my desire to get the haqiqat and reality of what I am saying. And it is my desire that you also get the haqiqat and reality. Get a little bit of taste of that sweet mango. If a person is given two mangoes, he is eating the sour one. And now you tell him, throw it away. It is sour. So the person will say, why must I throw it away? It seems that you want me to throw it or keep it one side and then you will take it and eat it up. That's why you want me to put it one side. But if you offer the person a sweet mango, very sweet mango, and say, just try this mango, then you don't have to give a long speech about the sour mango. Then you don't have to give a long speech about the sour mango. Does the person need a long speech after that? Even if he has taken one bite from that sour one and you gave him the sweet one to taste, he will quietly put the sour one away if he's a guest somewhere and then take the sweet one. The problem with us is that we are telling the people that this is a sour mango, sour mango, sour mango. But we are not presenting the sweetness of our akhlaq. Our akhlaq are not sweet enough. Our ibadat is not sweet enough. Our dealings are not sweet enough. Our relationship is not sweet enough with people. And as a result, they are not throwing away that sour mango. We are telling them television is bad, this is bad, that is bad. Everything is what is bad we are telling. We are making a lot of speeches. But in our own lives, we are also enjoying the same sour mangoes. So that is why nobody is giving up what we want them to give up. But if we only enjoy the taste of the sweet mango ourselves first, then whoever we are going to offer it to, that person will also enjoy the sweetness. And even if there is not sufficient to offer him, or the person does not accept it immediately, but when he sees our face, then he will realize that we are really enjoying something. The person who is eating sour mango, very sour, or anything sour, sour lemon, the person is taking a bite. So if you look at the person's face also, you'll see the effects of that sourness. And the person who is eating something sweet, you'll see the effect of the sweetness. The person who is happy, then you will see the effects of that happiness. The person who is sad, you will see the effects of that sadness. The face is a reflection, whatever is in the heart. So in the same way, the people who are associating with us, they want to see whether we are really happy in that way of life which we are inviting others towards. That is what they want to see. If we are inviting others towards honesty, towards truthfulness, towards charity, towards forgiveness, towards large-heartedness, towards good akhlaq and good character and good morals and good behavior, and solid iman and solid yaqeen and steadfastness on Islam and the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we invite him. But they find that it is missing in our lives. So it shows that we haven't tasted the sweetness of those amal ourselves. So then how is it going to be an attraction for them? This is where the problem lies. We are saying in our homes, our children don't want to change, our wives don't want to change. Wives are saying, husbands don't want to change, this one doesn't want to change, nobody wants to change. They don't want to change because we don't have in our lives that kind of attraction towards these deeds. I thought we will discuss many more malfuzas. It is just one we took and ours seems to have ended. Nevertheless, even if we learn that much, it is sufficient. For Islah, sometime one majlis is sufficient. Like if every person gets up from this one majlis with that sincere intention that I want to throw out of my life. I'm not saying throw out of other people's lives. I'm saying throw out of my own life. So if there are 10 people in the home that's watching the filth on the television screen, I'm not saying that go and unplug the thing and throw the television out and create fitna in the home. Take a brick and smash it and then land yourself in jail after that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we can restrain ourselves. The person can restrain himself. So if every person says, from tomorrow I will make namaz 5 times a day. I will fast in Ramadan, I will give zakat, I will go for hajj, I will stay away from lying, from cheating, from deceiving, from miserliness, from greed, from pride, from arrogance. Now the person made up his niyyah. After that, whether he took 1 step or 2 steps or 10 steps is a different issue. It will be a gradual process. But at least he did something. Something he gave up. Something that was evil in his life he gave up. With the niyyah of giving up everything. Then inshallah one day you will find that person a waliullah. That person will then become an attraction towards deen and towards Islam and Sharia and Quran Sharif. Without much speech and without too much of bragging. So the time has come. Look at the number of people dying suddenly. Look at that young person in the Ihtikaf. He was with us in Stanger, hafiz of the Quran Sharif, making Taraweeh also. Wonderful akhlaq. He was at the varsity and very much involved with the Jamaat also. managed to show a lot of muhabbat for this insignificant servant of Allah Ta'ala also. And in the accident, passed away. Young person, second year engineering or third year engineering. So many like that. But they got shahadat, and we don't know what stages Allah Ta'ala will give them. Allah give them just higher stages in Jannah, and give sabre jameel and ajre azim to his parents and kith and his family. And also all those others who have passed away, Allah Ta'ala forgive them, fill their graves with noor, and give them higher stages in Jannah. But look at the lesson that they are leaving behind for us. That don't be negligent, don't be indifferent. Don't say tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. We don't know when the angel of death is going to come. Preparation must be immediate. Then, whilst preparing, the person did not reach where he was supposed to reach, but he was making the effort in that direction. Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving, so kind, that he will make him reach that stage because he took the steps in that direction. Gunehgari mein kab tak umra kaatun? Gunehgari mein kab tak umra kaatun? Badal de mera rasta, dil badal de. Oh Allah, how long am I going to walk the path of sins? How long am I going to remain disobedient to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How long am I going to use your very bounties and ni'mats for your disobedience? How long? May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Mawla, humare gunahon ko maaf farma. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, we acknowledge that indeed we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Ya Allah, you have given us himmat and courage which we are not using. Give us the himmat and courage of lions against our nafs. Ya Allah, nafs and shaitan want to drag us down the gutters of disgrace, suffering, humiliation, embarrassment. Ya Allah, you want to give us a life of peace, of happiness, of contentment, of satisfaction. A life, my beloved Allah, which is filled with tranquility, with serenity, with joy, both in this world and in the akhirah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to do those things which make you pleased and happy. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirah. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Gunehgari mein kab tak umr kaatun? Badal de mera rasta, dil badal de. Ya Allah, become ours and make us yours. Ya Allah, bless us with your wilayat. Ya Allah, we know that nafs and shaitan are our enemies. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to consider them as enemies and distance ourselves from them. Ya Allah, those who have passed away, fill the graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. We too have to leave this world one day, and we don't know when that day is going to be. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, popping drugs in our mouths, or at a prostitute quarters, or watching some filth on the television screen, or some porn site on the internet, or some filthy magazine in our hands, or in the disco, or cinema, or rave club. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Baqi. If it is not destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. There are so many, my beloved Allah, who have met up with accidents and they are in hospitals. There are so many others who are suffering from other kinds of sicknesses and diseases and they are in hospitals. There are many sick people amongst us in clinics, in homes. Wherever they may be, Ya Allah, shifa lies in your hands. There is effect in dua and there is effect in dawa. But Ya Allah, shifa and cure lies in your hands. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zaroor, marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. Ya Allah, bless us all with complete shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, protect us, my beloved Allah. Protect our iman, protect our Islam. Ya Allah, protect our families, protect our children, protect our homes. Protection lies in you, my beloved Allah. My beloved Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our lives, in our time. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to get rid from our lives and our homes, all those things that's causing so much of corruption in the lives of our children and ourselves. Those who are in difficulties, remove their difficulties. Those who are in financial problems, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Ya Allah, hamara banja, hame apna bana le. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jab tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. Ya Allah, tabligh aur daawat ki mehnat qubool farma. Hone wala ijtema qubool farma. Masajid, madaris, khanqahon ki mehnat qubool farma. Ya Allah, hum sab ko qubool farma. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires and the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires, good aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the suffering, the sicknesses and the problems that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night is going through. Ya Allah, remove their suffering, difficulties and hardships. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and problems of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Remove the difficulties of mankind around the globe. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ الْمَقِيمِ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ